So just to reintroduce myself one more time, I am Christopher Harrison.
And I'm Susan Eyback, but they probably heard that the first time because...
Yeah, you had a microphone and I didn't. Yes, clever.
All
I see
good.
What you did there. In any event, what we're going to do today is we're going to do a few hours, and if you've been following along on Twitter, we're going to do a run-through of Visual Studio 2013 features that we'll see a little bit of old, a little bit of new, or actually I should say a little bit of old, quite a bit of new.
Yeah, it's really going to be focused on what's really been added in the 2013 release.
Exactly, yeah. And we'll actually also wind up seeing some of the other new kind of miscellaneous features in the API itself, like when we get into doing some cool MVC stuff and otherwise. But let's go ahead and introduce ourselves, and then let's get right on into it. So first up again, in case you didn't catch on before, my name is Christopher. You'll notice my Twitter handle right up there. I'm a .NET developer, SharePoint guy, SQL guy, certified trainer for the last 14 years, presented at TechEd numerous times. I've been here a good handful of times. I still think the Commodore 64 was the best OS ever created. There we go. Husband, father of one four-legged child, and a marathoner, running my third, actually, in about a month.
Four-legged child, dog, cat?
Dog.
Dog.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, dog
yes.
Person.
Half border collie, half lab, all personality.
I bet. my name is Susan Eyback, and my Twitter handle is Hockey Geek Girl. Go Sens Go. I am from Ottawa, Canada, and I am a technical evangelist, actually, from Microsoft Canada. So these days, I'm spending a lot of time working with app development in Windows Phone inside Windows 8. I'm also a Microsoft certified trainer as well. I do a lot of blogging at godevmental.com, so you'll see me blogging there about Visual Studio and about other products in app development. I've presented at a variety of conferences and events over the years. I still remember coding in VB6 and COBOL before Y2K, so I've really just dated myself. But my first computer was with TRS-80.
Okay, you were the other side.
Yes.
Yeah, you were the other side.
My
yep.
father, when I was growing up, believed all computers should be purchased at Radio Shack. and so at this point, so I am also a wife, and I am a mother of two two-legged children, so I think we're even.
Yep. Same number of legs.
Exactly.
Yep.
And hopefully to become a marathon. I've kind of registered for one. Christopher and I have run the occasional half marathons, but or you've run a full, but I haven't tackled that yet. So today, however, will be our marathon of Visual Studio.
There we go. I feel partly responsible for you running the marathon there. So let's kind of cover what we're going to cover. That we're going to start off taking a look at the IDE, Integrated Developer or Development Environment. And by the way, if one of us throws out a TLA, at some point we don't define what that is. We'll make sure.
A TLA? What would a TLA be, Christopher?
A three-letter acronym.
Could be a two-letter acronym.
But then the joke wouldn't work.
Okay, sorry.
All right. But in any event, so what we're going to do is we're going to start off by taking a look at the IDE as a whole. And then we're going to get into the web stuff, we're going to get into application lifecycle management, and we're going to get into creating Windows app. That basically the goal, if you take a look at the outline here, is to really make this kind of consume at will. So the first section will be applicable to all developers that are going to be doing anything inside of Visual Studio 2013. The next section will be for us web developers. The next section will be for ALM, and then finally close everything off for app developers. So that way you can kind of pick and choose what's going to be most applicable to you.
Yeah, and we obviously want to start off with content that we thought everybody would be able to use, which is why we're starting off with the IDE.
Exactly. As far as expectations, we expect that you've at least downloaded, maybe even installed, maybe just the trial edition of Visual Studio, that you've kind of taken a look at it, opened it up, seeing what it's all about, but that's really about it, that we really are kind of expecting that you've maybe poked at it a little bit, seeing, yep, smells like copy of Visual Studio, and really sort of left it at that.
Yeah, you should know how to create a project. We're not going to start about how do you create a project, how do you start writing code. We're
exactly.
assuming you've been in there, you've been writing some code, and you really want to see what's new,
exactly.
what's come out in the latest edition
yep.
that you can check out.
Exactly, yeah, that you've played with prior versions, and you're now getting into 2013. You'll also notice a handful of different links for additional material. You can check out the Visual Studio 2013 launch videos. It's some amazing stuff, great material inside of there. Obviously, obviously check the documentation, and then just so many blogs that are out there.
A lot of the guys on the Visual Studio team have some really great blogs with some good resources, and depending on which team they are, so you can find some good resources on those Visual Studio team blogs, including sometimes, if you look, actually Brian Keller has even created a virtual machines that you can download, which we'll be using when we do the ALM content, and you can actually download those same VMs and explore stuff yourself, because that's a particularly difficult one to just jump in and play with if you've never created a project in ALM before, or a team foundation server.
You just need a lot of moving parts to really actually test things. You need to create your requirements and all that good stuff. So it's nice to have all that pre-baked and ready to go. Now, as far as the MVA community, for those of you that are new here, you'll notice this is just free online training tailored to both IT pros as well as developers. Over a million different registrants that are there. You'll also notice there's a cool little point-based system that you can use. The little link down at the very bottom there, AKMS, WAC, MVA-voucher. And you'll also notice the voucher code there, which will get you 50 points, new, capital V, capital S, 2013. And that will expire on January 11th of 2014. So January 11th is when it will expire there.
I think that's enough prelude. I think it's time to get to the meat of the presentation.
Absolutely. Actually,
what?
Hold on. Guys, look, and especially now with the microphone, I apologize.
What did you forget to do?
It dawns on me I forgot to do something.
You're off to a flying start today.
Yeah, I know. If we can actually just take a real quick look at my system here. One of the things that just dawned on me, I spun this up inside of Azure. Earlier this morning, actually went in, took a look at the different VMs that are inside of there. And one of the cool things is that they actually do have VMs with Visual Studio all set and ready to go there, which is wonderful. But one of the things that I forgot to do is we're now seeing here is I need to launch this, and this, of course, is going to take a couple of seconds here, and then eventually will prompt me, hopefully a little bit faster than this, to sign in here.
No, I'm the Canadian. Usually it's, when I'm coming to the American, I always assume it's, my connection has to go through customs and come
exactly.
back, so that
yes.
causes a delay.
Yes, delivered via carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Come on. I may actually, there we go.
I was going to say, I'm going to get driven to telling bad jokes if it takes much longer.
Okay, there we go. So let me go ahead and sign in here real quick. It thanks me for my patience, which I think is rather nice. And let's go ahead and real quick. My password, which is 867-5309. One person in the room got that.
No,
and actually,
now,
if you want to kick away from my screen here real quick, I do have to punch in a real quick code, which I guess we could actually use this, there you go, as a nice little learning experience. That one of the cool things that you can now do with your live accounts is you can actually get two-factor authentication. So that way, you need to have your phone as well to be able to log in. Okay, there we go. All right. So now that's going to be signing in. Now we can let that do its thing in the background.
We're ready to go?
Yeah, now we're ready to go.
All right.
Okay.
You sure now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah,
awesome.
I apologize.
No worries.
All right.
All right.
There we go.
We'll make sure you got coffee for the next one.
There we go. Okay. So so I'll let you do the intro here. There's your little slide, and in the meantime, I'll turn off my phone so as I don't get yelled at.
That sounds good. All right. So you can see we've got a very complicated agenda for this session. What we're going to do is we're planning to demo a cool new feature in Visual Studio 2013, and then maybe demo another cool feature.
Yep.
And then maybe another cool feature, and basically sort of do that until we run out of time. And that's our basic agenda for this particular session.
Okay. I'm sorry. You lost me. So after we demo a cool feature, then what are we going to do?
Then maybe you could demo a cool feature, and then I'll demo a cool feature, and we'll just keep going.
Okay, I think this will work. And in fact, here, tell you what, since I already had my virtual machine up and running, what do you say I go ahead and take it away here? Let me go ahead and do the roaming settings here. Now, real quick, as I'm getting my system switched back around and letting this download in the background here, and you'll notice it is taking it a couple of minutes to do its thing. I will admit, I always admit when I do something that is in fact a mistake. I have no problem admitting to that. The microphone this morning, okay, yeah, that was a mistake. Just forgot to plug that in. but the whole Visual Studio thing, we sort of, set that up a little bit like, Penn and Teller-ish type there. Although between the two of us, I don't know which one would be Teller.
You're getting too subtle. Get on with it.
So what you're going to notice is right over here, this is actually allowing me to sign in. And you'll notice that it is taking a couple of minutes. Because what it's doing behind the scenes is going in and grabbing a lot of the different options, a lot of the different settings for Visual Studio. That one of the big things that I really focus in on, especially because of the fact that I do most of my development with curly-based languages, where if you ever miss a curly brace, forget about it. You're just sunk for days. So making sure that your code is properly formatted, that you've got all your appropriate tabs, your carriage returns, and everything else in the right place makes a very big difference, especially for people who do C++, JavaScript, C#, those curly brace style of languages. And most curly-based developers are very particular about where everything goes. And so every time I get into Visual Studio, I always have to go in and say, okay, well, I want my carriage returns after like my if blocks, my control blocks, but I don't want them. Or I do want them after methods. So not after control blocks, I do want them after methods. The other very big thing, because of the fact that I spend a lot of time in a classroom, is I want my font size to be 14 point, that I want my highlighting to be yellow rather than that blue in the background, because that shows up better on an overhead. And a lot of times I can present off my surface, but not always. And so having the having to always fire up Visual Studio on whatever system it is I have access to, okay, now let me go in and change this and turn that off, just becomes tiresome after a while. So having all of those roaming settings available is very nice. That what you're going to notice once this finishes logging in here is that it will have all of those options already set up for me.
So the key here is it's exactly that, because we all have personal ways that we like to work within the tool.
Exactly.
We all like to customize that appearance, change some of the settings.
Yep.
So the great thing about the roaming, when you go log in on another machine, you don't have to go set up all those settings a second time.
Exactly. Okay. You know what? Let's put this to the side here real quick.
Let's jump over to a different cool demo, and then we'll come back to yours when it's logged in.
Yeah, we'll take
another look at that. So we want to hop over to my system. I have another feature I want to show you, and it's related to that setting things up the way you like it to look inside Visual Studio. It's simply, of course, you just got in.
Yeah, keep going.
So what I'm going to do is we've got some themes, of course, that we can customize in Visual Studio. And one of the simplest things we've done is, if you actually look at this, and if you were working in 2012, the blue theme that we all started with on Visual Studio is back. It's actually the default theme now when you launched Studio 2013, and there was much rejoicing.
Yay.
And now, to change the theme, it's pretty straightforward. It's going to be, of course, like so many things are in Visual Studio, you go down to Tools, you go down to your Options, and you go off to Environment. And under General, you'll see here's the ability to go and change that color theme. And the default is set to blue. So it's really nice to have that ability to trust that you've got your basic dark theme, light theme, blue theme. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I do actually like to play around like you, change the settings a little bit more.
Yep.
So what I've actually done is I've actually downloaded an add-on that gives me a set of additional themes I can choose from. And the link to that is in the slide deck. So if you've got the slide deck, you'll have that link. It's in there. And through that, I've actually got a number of different themes that I have available to me because I've installed that. I can go with a nice environmentally friendly green.
There you go.
Yeah, I always go with green. It's my background color, my start screen, and everything.
You can just choose your color depending on your mood then.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, however, I have to warn you, over the years, anytime I've done presentations, taught courses, and so on, I've developed a reputation for perhaps the ugliest user interface design you've ever seen. And one of the things I do is I can actually go and I can take these themes and I can modify them. Again, customize it to the way I want it to look.
Yep.
So one of the things I can do is if I go down to Tools, you'll actually see because I've installed the add-on, I see two new menu items, change color theme, so I can just change the theme directly from the menu, don't have to go into Tools Options, and I can also customize colors. And if I choose that option, it brings up all the installed themes. Now I can create one from scratch, or I could take this lovely green theme and I could say, well, let's make a copy of that theme. And then if I scroll down, I can see this new theme. So this will be Susan's ugly theme, because that is my personal specialty. And then I can go in and I can then edit that theme.
Truth in advertising, I like it.
Absolutely. And I can go here and I can change any of the colors and so on to make the appearance of Visual Studio the way I want it to be. So I can go, for example, to my command bar, and I could set that background to perhaps a lovely fuchsia. I think that's going to look gorgeous.
There you go.
And then a text color of bright yellow. Yeah, there we go.
So let's just... Well, you weren't kidding, ugly.
Oh, yeah. So let's just, save and apply that. And then you can see my lovely pink toolbar across the top.
Good gravy. I'm feeling nauseous over here.
But it really is wonderful. It said, and these themes are a simple add-on you can download. It works with Visual Studio 2013. So we have the blue theme back, and you can also take other existing themes, edit your own themes, and really make it look the way you want to. So, Christopher, yep. Rather than look at this screen, people probably prefer to go back to yours.
Yes, yeah, let's kick back over here. Okay, so this is now finally... downloaded all my settings. So what I want to do, just to kind of prove the point here, is I'm going to go in, create a brand new project. It does bug me a little bit. We've been at it for about 15 minutes, and you know what we haven't done yet? We haven't displayed Hello World on a screen. I think that's something that,
yes.
that needs to be fixed right away.
Yep.
So let me go in, just create a real quick console app, Hello MBA, and let me just go ahead and hit OK here. And just give this a couple of moments. And... I did choose VB. Shucks. That's all right. I'll roll with
yep.
VB. Actually, you know what? Let me just add in a new project here.
You missed your curly braces, don't you?
I did. Yes. There we go. My console app. There we go. So let's say hello C sharp. There we go. And let's go ahead and hit OK. All right. And let me also make sure that I set that as my startup. Okay, so what I want you to notice right away is that everything is much bigger, that it is that 14-point font as promised. You'll also notice when I highlight, everything is now yellow. You'll also notice that if I hit a carriage return, that it keeps me right on that line. It's using block tabbing, not the the smart tabbing. I'll go ahead and I'll tab in, and I'll go ahead and I'll say if, let's say, 1 equals 1, which generally speaking is true. And then we'll go ahead and open up a curly brace. You'll notice that we'll keep that opening curly right after my my if block. And then we'll go ahead and say console right line. And let's go ahead and do a hello world. There we go. And we'll go ahead and exit out. And sure enough, you'll notice everything behaves. I don't think we really need to print this out. But
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're good there. So the whole point being here that if I go back into my tools options and now show everything behind the scenes, that if I open up my fonts and colors, that as promised, it's set to 14. You'll also notice that my selected text is in fact set to yellow. And you'll also notice that if I scroll on down, and this is, I think, the bigger one for me, and I go into my text editor and I go into C sharp and I go into my formatting, my new lines, that everything is now set up the way that I like it. So all I had to do is sign in. And obviously, as you guys saw, I created this morning that I really did sit down in the restaurant and fire it up. I actually tweeted it, but fired up, hey, here's my virtual machine. And you guys saw that I launched Visual Studio for the first time logged in, so it did in fact pull everything down from there, which is pretty cool.
And since so many of us spend so much time on multiple machines these days, it becomes more and more useful.
Exactly. All good. Exactly.
Nice. Yep. All right.
Cool. So let me exit out of this, and let's go back to a slide.
Sounds good.
Come here. There we go. Beautiful. Okay. So there's our themes, and there is the URL that Susan had mentioned before about the color schemes and the editor. So that way, if you want to go in and have that pink and yellow, there you go. Go ahead. All right.
All right. Now, you know, sometimes we get going in the flow and, you know, maybe we need to just change it up a little.
Yeah, let's just, you know, come to a screeching halt and let's go ahead and take a look at a keyboard shortcut. That,
yeah.
You know, one of the things for me is I find that I'm a much more productive developer and just computer user in general if I can keep my hands on the keyboard. Because after all, having to constantly reach for the mouse and then there's the whole carpal tunnel thing to go along with that as well. If you keep your hands on your keyboard, generally speaking, you're going to be more productive and it's also just better for you in the long run. So there's a lot of fantastic shortcut keys that are inside of Visual Studio, and sometimes they fall into that category of you just sort of got to know that they're there. So let's go ahead and take a look at one. So Susan, do you have a shortcut key that you can go ahead and demo
I've
here?
I've got several favorite shortcut keys, but
excellent.
I'm going to start off, since this particular one is a new feature presentation,
yes.
I actually want to show one that is a new feature in Visual Studio 2013.
Excellent.
So if we can cut to my machine, this one is the simplest thing to do, as most keyboard shortcuts are. If you hold down the Alt, put the cursor on a line of code, and you hold down the Alt key, and you hit the down arrow, it moves the line of code down. If you hit the up arrow, it moves the line of code up.
That's
so Alt
cool.
Up, Alt down, quickly reorganize a line of code.
I like it. And a lot of times, you know, it is just those silly little simple things that make all the difference, that really do just help make life a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a look at another neat little feature inside of Visual Studio called the scroll bar map mode.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, so do I. So let me kick back over. Oops, make sure that I'm out of the slide. That little head dance is what makes my system go faster.
Okay.
Look, that's just what I'm going with here.
All right.
So let me just real quick here, static string, and let's go ahead and say get name, and let's go ahead and say string name equals console read line. Let's go ahead and say console write enter name, and put a semicolon right there. And then let's go ahead and say return name. And let's come back up to the here. And let's just real quick public static void display name. And let's come here, say string name. And then we'll go ahead and say console write line and hello and whatever your name happened to be. Okay, so all I'm trying to do here is just add in a little bit of code. That's really all I'm doing, nothing overly fancy here. Now, in my particular case here, there's not a whole lot that's going on, but when you're dealing with real live code, obviously that's going to, after a while, get longer and longer and longer and longer. And trying to figure out what it is that maybe has been modified, trying to figure out kind of where different things are, can be a little bit of a pain. So what you're going to notice, first of all, over on the left-hand side is that little yellow bar. And that's been there for a good little while now. And what's nice about that is it will show you line by line where things have been saved. It'll turn to green if it's been saved. It'll also show me what's been changed, and that's going to be yellow. But you'll also now notice over on the right-hand side here, and I didn't do anything to make this happen, that over here on the right-hand side, you'll also notice that this is now being mapped to all of my code. So from there to there, so from that yellow to yellow, from the beginning to the end there, all of that is all the spot that I've changed, that I haven't saved any of that. So it's showing me over here, kind of on a scaled down basis, where all of my changed code happens to be. You'll also notice, follow the little bouncing ball, follow the little purple line there, that as I move my cursor around, it also now shows me where my cursor is in the rest of my screen. So it can make it a little bit easier to navigate through and kind of figure out where I am and where different things are. Now, that's cool. It's neat. And honestly, if we stopped there, that'd be cool enough. But wait, there's more. See, just being able to see where it is that my code has changed can be a little bit of a problem, or at least not enough information. It'd also be nice if I could see maybe what my code actually looks like. And so what you'll notice is that if I go back into Tools and Options over here, and let's go into Text Editor and then All Languages. So Tools Options, Text Editor, All Languages, right inside of here, what you're going to notice is all the different annotations that we can get for our vertical scroll bar. And you'll also notice right over here is our behavior. So the default is bar mode. But if I want to get that cool little map mode, then I can just put the little dot next to map mode, choose the level of detail that we want. Let's just leave it at medium there. That'll work just fine. And then hit OK. And now what you're going to notice,
nice,
that's cool, is that I can go in and very easily find whatever it is that that I happen to be looking for. Now, don't get me wrong, you do still have that drop down up top, that is still there. I don't know, maybe it's just the way my brain operates. I just never think to look there. And I think a lot of that is just, you know, you spend time in things like Word and otherwise where you don't have that neat little drop down. You've got the scroll bar. So, you know, I spend a lot of my time over there on the scroll bar. So having that little capability right there where I can go, oh, what was that method I'm looking for? Oh yeah, there it is, get name. And then I can click on it and it will just take me right to there. I guess I chose display name, but it will take me right, right to there.
Great way to, especially when you got a really large class or a really large project that you're navigating through. That'll be awesome.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool.
All right. So what do you say we take a look at, you know, another feature?
I think it's all my turn. Can I do my turn?
Absolutely.
All right. Yep. All right. I'm going to sneak in a little demo here then. So if we can have it open my system. And this is actually a little bit related to something that this is actually Well, there's two things. So we'll start with the first, which is if you actually in the very top right corner, and I'm actually going to minimize to make sure that you guys can see that little corner of a screen here. See if I can make sure it's because you can see that where it says a little flag at the top. And let's actually just what I'll do is I'll do this and we'll zoom in a little. Nope, not going to zoom in. Okay, apparently not. Okay. Nope, not going to work. Okay, I was just trying to use my zoom, but it's not cooperating. But in the top right corner, one of the things you can see is you can see this little flag here. This is actually notifications to let you know that there might be updates or changes to Visual Studio that you want to download. So they just have a nice little flag in the top corner to let you know that, hey, guess what, Susan, you know, hey, there's been some updates to some of the SDKs that you're using inside Visual Studio. So it's a great way to just sort of stay on top of updates to any SDKs you might be using, add-ons you might be using inside Visual Studio. And that's just a nice little thing.
That's cool.
What is really gold is this little text box in the top right corner called Quick Launch. A lot of the features we're actually going to be showing today are hidden somewhere in Tools Options. And for years, I've always been going, oh, Tools, Options, General, All Languages, where's font size again? And I'm constantly struggling, trying to remember and go digging to find a particular one. Yep. I'll tell you one of my favorite ones. Have you ever done this mistake when you're coding? I learned about you. I live with Control-C and Control-V for cut and paste. I'm a lazy programmer. And every now and then, you go and you paste, you know, you put a whole bunch of code and you put that in your buffer. And then you go off to another file somewhere where you decide you want to insert that code. And then my fingers are too fast. They move faster than my brain. And I hit Control-C a second time instead of hitting Control-V. And then what happens is when you do the Control-V, you paste a blank line. I find this so irritating. There is an option hidden in Tools Options which says, don't let me copy blank lines. Because why would I want to copy a blank line?
Right.
But it's one of those ones I always had to go digging for to find it. Go to Quick Launch, type in blank line. And what it does is it's actually a search tool that searches the Visual Studio tool. It'll tell you where is there a menu item with that word in it, or is there something in Tools Options with that phrase in it. So you can see it pops up and goes, oh, look, under Options, which means in the Tools Options, there is under Text Editor, All Languages General, and you click on it. There it is. Do not apply cut and copy commands to blank lines when there is no selection.
Perfect.
So I don't have to go digging through Tools Options all the time. I have an easy way to find it. It will also search menu items. It will search file names, but not file contents. We have a lot of other tools for searching file contents. We're not trying to replace what's already there.
Right. Yep.
Other things, like you might want to search for, how do I turn off an online numbers? I've been asked that before. And again, it's one of those ones. Don't go digging. Just go here, type line number, and boom, there it is. It's under the text editor or the themes we were showing earlier. I just type in theme, and you'll notice it says, oh, look at that. Under the menu, you've got the change color theme in the menu, or you've got it under Tools Options. So the Quick Launch is a fabulous little tool. Now, if you know that you're searching for something that's in Tools Options, there are even prefixes that you can use. So I can actually specify at option, and let's say I want to search for, what was it you were just playing around with? It was the
scroll bar map.
The scroll bar map mode. And I'm like, oh, where was that map mode that Christopher was showing me? I just go options, map, and boom. There's my use scroll bar map mode right away, first hit. So once you get the hang of this, you will find yourself using it constantly to find those little options. And in the when we do go back to the slides, I do actually have, I show you all the different prefixes that you can use in that Quick Launch.
Here, let me bring up that that slide right here. I happen to have it.
All right.
Waiting. There we go.
There you go. So you can specify MRU, which means most recently used. You've got menu to search for menu items specifically, opt for searching tools options, and doc, which I said will search file names, not file contents, because obviously we have other ways to search file contents.
Control-Shift-F and away
you've
you go.
Got it, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So, and by the way, if you are looking for a little bit more info on the Quick Launch, you'll notice the little URL right there. You can check out Zane's blog post.
Zane's got a lot of great Visual Studio tips and tricks. And so it's a great place. If you've never checked out his blog before, you should definitely check it out if you're working a lot with Visual Studio.
Yep.
All right. Christopher, I think it's your turn to show us a cool keyboard shortcut.
Okay. Let's do it. So let me come back out of here. And fire this back up, and boom. Okay, so what I did while Susan was doing her thing over here is Well, frankly, I made a mess. That what you're going to notice, first of all, is right up at the top here that I threw in a carriage return where, frankly, I really don't want one. You'll also notice on my little get name that I kind of messed some things up through the curly brace over here, kind of put that there, and then down here on my display name that I put it together like this. Now, the whole reason, first of all, that I did this is just so I could have something to demo. But the other big thing is that if you're anything like me, and I know I am, I have a tendency when I'm really trying to struggle with a bit of logic is just type out the code. I really don't care at all what it looks like. Just, you know, let me just get it out there. And then once I get it there, then let me worry about going in and doing a little bit of cleanup. Or let's say that I got code from somebody else that, in particular, when it comes to curly brace languages, where people want their curly braces, best way to start a fight in a room full of developers is, you know, ask, all right, is there a carriage return or no carriage return when you say public static void main? You know, do you put a carriage return there or not?
We all have our preferences.
Yeah, exactly. And so somebody else sends me a code block, and, you know, I really want it formatted to the way that I want it formatted. So this is off the menu option. You can actually go to Edit and Advanced and find it off of there. But again, keyboard shortcuts. And this is a two-part keyboard shortcut that if you haven't found the Control-K shortcut keys, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. Another one that I'll be doing a little bit later. But for right now, Control-K, Control-D. So K for kilo, D for delta, and you'll notice that it has cleaned up some of my code, but not all of it. That if you have some different things, like you'll notice that I put that onto the same line, or you'll notice that I've done something like that, that it's making an assumption that I did that for a particular reason. But in particular, you'll notice that my carriage returns and all of that have now been put back to where they should be based on the settings that I put inside of my options. So if I also maybe do something like this, and again, Control-K, Control-D, that will now tab in.
Nice.
That little console right line.
Fixes the indentation for you based on your preferences.
Exactly, yeah, and I find that extremely helpful, like I said, in those couple of scenarios, or even in situations where maybe I have forgotten a curly brace. I think I remember something about curly braces automatically.
We're getting there. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But in any event, you know, I've forgotten a curly brace or something like that, and, you know, all right, so I'm missing, you know, one down here. Just throw it in, Control-K, Control-D, and we'll format everything for you.
Nicely done. Awesome.
Excellent.
Choice. Good choice of a keyboard shortcut.
Well, thank you. Thank you. By the way, that one is actually a relatively old one. It's been around for at least as long as I can remember now. I don't know if it was necessarily in, like, you know, Visual Studio 2002, as it were, but it's been around for a while.
There's a lot. Yeah, a lot of, yeah. It was 2008 I started really exploring the keyboard shortcuts.
Okay. So in any event, let me bring back up slides here. There we go. All right.
All right. This one's a really simple demonstration, but it's one that's going to make a lot of Visual Studio developers very happy, especially when you're working on a large project. What we now have is asynchronous loading and building. So when you open up a large project inside Visual Studio, you don't have the UI non-responsive. So you can go clicking around and start moving around the tools, searching and changing tools options, even while your project is actually loading. That's also true when you're doing a build. So if I go here, now this isn't a particularly big project, so I'm going to have to click fairly fast, but if I go and I kick off a build of this particular solution, you'll notice I can still go right up to Quick Launch and start working on it. You've noticed I was able to click in Quick Launch, start doing something even though the build was still running. So just a small thing, but we've all been there, sitting there, waiting for that build to finish, and going, while that's happening, I want to go do X. Now you can do something while your build is running or while the project's loading.
Yep, exactly. And speaking of small little things, let me get out of my slides here real quick. Give me one second before we take my system here, and let me go ahead and, okay, there we go. So what I'm going to do here real quick is let me just cut that out of there and let me add in a real quick new class here. And this is going to be my Hello Helper. There we go. And let's just go ahead and paste all of that into there. And you'll notice it automatically does my formatting. One of the little things, and this has, again, been this way for forever, that a lot of people don't necessarily know, is that if you go in and you set up your tools options, all the code auto-generation, or when you copy and paste, goes off of those options inside of there. So it is worthwhile to spend a little bit of time going in and configuring that. Okay. So let me, both those are marked as static, good, good, good. So let me come back over here and let's go ahead and say string name equals hello helper dot and then get name.
I love IntelliSense.
Oh, absolutely. Where would we be without it? All right, so I've got my little call to get name here, and let's say, you know, I really don't know what it is that that get name is doing. So I go in and I hit F12, and I love F12. It's that go to definition. So boom, now I'm over here on get name. Now, one of the problems that most developers that I know, myself included, have is we have this fantastic train of thought. And the moment that something comes along and breaks that, forget about it. That the number of times that I've been fighting with a problem, somebody will just come over and just say, hi, Christopher. That's it. I'm now sunk. And it's now going to take me 15 minutes to figure out where it was that I left off. The exact same thing holds true here. That I was inside of my little program. This is where my attention was. This is where my focus was. I needed to say real quick, what does get name do? I hit F12, and now I'm somewhere else.
Yep.
I just want to see it. So what you're going to notice is I hit Alt F12. And there's my little code peek. And so now I can see very easily what is going on inside of here. And what I really want to highlight over here on the right-hand side, I love this. You'll even notice I still get that little map mode inside of here as well. So I'm not limited to just seeing anything that is particular to just my class. You'll notice that I've got it inside of here as well. And let's say I decide, you know, maybe on the display name that I want to go in and edit this. You'll notice
sweet.
That I can actually edit that right in line there. So I decide, you know, on display name, I really wanted to put a period at the end there. Just real quick, boom, boom, boom. I'm done. I close that off. And now I'm all set and ready to go. So now I can go ahead and say, hello, helper, display name. And, oops, got to make sure I put in the name there. Name. There we go. And perfect. And here, now let's actually go in and do it. Give me 2 seconds here just to configure my screen. You'll notice how often I find myself doing this. I can
like you've
do
done
sleep.
It before.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go ahead and say, Christopher, without the Y, it's a silent Y. Hit enter, sure enough, and there's my hello, Christopher, typo and everything. Halo, Christopher, I guess.
Nicely
so,
done.
In any event, okay.
That is awesome. I do like the code peek like you. I find it frustrating to navigate away from the code where I'm staying focused. So you said
exactly.
Alt. F12
Alt
instead of
F12.
So F12 is go to definition.
Exactly.
Alt F12 if you just want to peek,
yep.
Like a little preview.
Yep.
Nice.
There it is.
Love it.
Yep. And here, you know what? Just because it's going to kill me otherwise.
There
yep. We go.
There's the coder.
Now I feel better.
All right.
There we go.
Cool.
All
right. Now, I can't remember. We up to a demo, another demo? Or
We
still have time for more demos.
We should probably get back to our slides here. Bring up our slides. There we go. You've got a keyboard shortcut to do.
Oh, it's my turn to do a keyboard shortcut again.
Yes.
All right. Okay. If we can cut over to my system. This particular shortcut's been around since either Studio 2008 or 2010, I think this one was added. I think it was 2010, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you use when you do search, when you want to search your code? What's your instinctive keyboard shortcut?
Control F.
And I find that is true of a lot of developers. They use Control F to do a search. So I want to go search for a particular variable or something. I go Control F. And it brings up a nice little search window where I can type in, you know, minutes or whatever, and I can go searching through my file. And that's a great tool, but I have one that I actually is my go-to search. It's Control I. And Control I does something called incremental search. And you'll still see a find box appearing, but you're going to see the little icon of the binoculars, which gives you a hint that you've actually done the incremental search. And by its name, incremental means as you progress further, it adds. So if I type P, it finds everything which contains the letter P, but then when I type P-U-B, you can see it's gradually narrowing down the search to only return results that contain those letters. So it narrows
That's
down
cool.
the search as you're typing. Control-I, incremental search.
Nice. All right. Let's see. I want my slides here. Give me one second here.
My only problem with doing so many little demos is a lot of back and forth.
Right? Exactly.
It's hard to keep all those environments straight.
Okay. You know what, Susan, since you're talking over here.
Yeah.
Do I have my slides up? Do I have the... Hold on one second here. I just want to make sure that I'm in the right spot. PowerPoint is beating me up this morning. Okay, this is where I want to be. There we go.
And after all that, it's back to me anyway.
And it's back to you after all.
I love it. All that work for you to go show a slide, and then it's just back to my system. All right. Okay, so this is another simple little thing that's been done that will just make our lives easier when we're coding, and that is we now have auto brace completion. So if you're going in and you're writing code and, you know, you decide you're going to add a new method to your code, so I start declaring some sort of method, public, you know, sort of string, long name. As soon as I hit the open parentheses, you'll notice it automatically adds the closed parentheses. And if I go on and I add my opening curly bracket, automatically adds the closing curly bracket. So
nice.
Basically that's in there. Just saves, like, it makes your life a little easier. You're less likely to forget that closing brace or closing bracket. And that means you don't end up with all those method parentheses and going, oh no, wait, did I open three and close one? And you go looking for that one missing closed brace. It can be really frustrating.
Exactly.
However, I will say, as soon as I started working in Visual Studio 2013 and I got this feature, I found, especially when I was doing things like declaring a method that didn't have any parameters, I found it irritating that the cursor was always inside the braces, because I wanted to just, you know, I'm like, I don't need anything in the braces here.
Yep.
So the other thing that's good to be aware of is if you hit the tab key, it actually hops out of the first brace. And if you have nested braces, it'll just move up one level.
Exactly.
So that just makes life easier. So less typing for us, and coders, we're all basically lazy. Less typing is good. But remember the tab key, because otherwise you'll probably find yourself being frustrated because the cursor might not be where you want it.
And that tab key actually also works with strings as well. So if you, you know, said right line you hit the open paren, and in fact, here, let's just kick over to my system.
You got a demo to do anyway.
Exactly.
So
let's just go ahead and kick back over to my system, or my on slides. I shouldn't be on slides. I am on slides. there we go.
It'll be worth the wait.
It will be. All right. So back over to here. All right. So let's go ahead and take a real quick look at what I've got in the way of my little setup here. And let me just console write line. And let's go ahead and, again, you'll notice there's my open. And then you'll also notice that I go in and I put in a double quote here. And then it's got my automatic completion on the double quote. And actually, I'm going to real quick tangent over here, if you don't mind. Let me fire up my little code map over there on the right-hand side. You'll notice that little red block. That red block is showing me that I have a spot right now that's not compiling. So,
nice.
Yeah, so that way if you're in the midst of doing something, you can very easily see where are the spots in your code that you currently have a problem. Okay, let's kick back out. So now I've done that, and so now I've got, hello, Susan. There we go. So now I want to get to the end. And what's nice, just like Susan mentioned, is it's just simply tab and tab. And now I'm on the outside. And then I can go ahead and I can just put in my my little semicolon right there at the very end. And it's a much more natural key to reach for. That having to reach for end, having to reach for the cursor arrow, for at least me and, again, most of the developers that I know, it's just not a natural key to go hit. We're constantly hitting tab. I mean, my pinky is just programmed, just boom, tab. And so it's a much more natural key to go in and get to. Now, one of the other things that I find myself doing quite often is whenever I'm working on a more complex method is let me just, you know, put in a block of code. Or maybe I'm trying to test things and, you know, block code. And all of a sudden I decide, hey, you know what? I really don't want this. Or let me at least just hide this for a little while. So what you can do, of course, is just go to the very beginning and, you know, /// and there's your comment.
Yep.
But that gets a little bit old after a while, /// and
yep, been there, done that.
Yep, yep. Exactly. So let me just Control-Z or Control-Z for Susan here.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And back out of that. Now, let's go ahead and see how we can comment all of this out in one fell swoop. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and highlight this. And by the way, before I do this, I do want to highlight the fact that there are the little buttons right up here for this.
Love those.
So you do have the buttons, but you also do have it off of the edit. But, you know, the whole theme of our little tangents here has been keep your hand off the mouse. Keep your hand off the mouse. Again, Control-K. Control-K, Control-C. So Kilo Charlie, and that will go ahead and comment everything. And then again, Control-K, Control-U. To uncomment everything.
So like Control-K comment, Control-K uncomment.
Exactly. That's
nice.
Exactly it. And what I also really like about that is let's go ahead and say some comment inside of here. Display the name to the user. Beautiful. And let's say that I went in and I decided, okay, well, now I want to comment all that. It just adds in another.
It even works with nested comments.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I go ahead and I uncomment, you'll notice that it will work there as well. And I would also mention, and we'll get into web stuff a little bit later, that if you happen to be inside of, say, an XML document, if you happen to be inside of a XAML document, if you happen to be inside of CSHTML, that you can also comment inside of there as well. Again, just that exact same Control-K, Control-C.
Yeah.
So I love that.
That's another great keyboard shortcut. Love it.
Okay. Now, back to PowerPoint for me. Always an adventure. Okay. And I want to be, oh, this is where we want to be. I sort of went out of order there on my little demo, but that's okay. Let's go ahead and kick back on over, and we should have, yeah, our little performance and diagnostics up.
All right, so this will be, this is a nice little thing. So I'm going to jump over to my system. I can show you guys around the performance and diagnostics hub. And what happens is there's always been a number of tools inside Visual Studio. And again, it comes down to that, where are things hidden? There were a number of different tools in there that have been added over time to make it easier to diagnose the performance of your applications. But it was one of those things where there were certain tools that worked on certain applications, and you had to remember where to go find them. So what they've done in Visual Studio 2013 is if you actually go to debug, there's actually an entire hub now called Performance and Diagnostics. So basically, any tool you might want to use is going to be in here. Now, when you launch it, one of the other things that I love is the fact that it only shows you the tools that will work for the type of project you have open. I happen to have a Windows Phone project open here, so you'll notice it's listing that I can use the Performance Wizard if I want to, but the CPU sampling and energy consumption tools listed below are not available because they don't apply for Windows Phone. Windows Phone ones are a little tougher to work with in the debugger because of the way they run inside the emulator, so there aren't as many tools available for performance and debugging. But if I was to go and open up another project, so let's go find a project. This is a nice little one. I'm going to use my blob application. I don't even know what I was doing in code, so let's not save any changes there. And now if I go and launch that hub again, what you're going to see is I can choose from any of those reports because this is a Windows 8 application and any of those performance tools are available for a Windows 8 application. So I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about launching a tool and having it go off and say, oh, sorry, that tool's not available for that type of app. So that's all done for me. Plus, I can see all the reports I have for diagnosing performance problems all in one place. You can even change the target. If you look up here under Analysis Target, right now, by default, it's allowing me to analyze the project I have open. But you can go in here and say, I already have an app running and I want to run performance tests against that app that's running or against an app that's installed or a particular executable or an ASP.NET application that might be off running on IIS. So I can control what I'm going to analyze. Now to use it, all I would do is simply select the report that I want to run or the tool I want to use. And then you just scroll down and you'll see the option to hit start. That will launch your application, but at the same time, it's running an executable in the background to collect the data that I'll be able to use later to look at reports and do analysis. I go in and I start doing some stuff in my application. And when I'm done, all I have to do, that's Code Kwon Do. It's one of our Canadian promotions. I love that little icon.
Love it.
Get your black belt in coding. And what you'll see is when I go back to Visual Studio, you can see it's still collecting data. So whenever you're ready, you just hit stop collection, or there is a stop button in the top left corner. And at that time, it will stop the application and it will actually generate a report showing you what happened. I ran a CPU report, so it's basically showing my CPU usage. But there's a number of different reports you do have available inside there. So you've got the CPU sampling that literally tells you what's happening on the CPU. Energy consumption is a neat one. It actually will give you an idea of how much battery power you're sucking off a device. So you could see how long something might run on a tablet before the battery would run out. HTML UI responsiveness is used for checking, literally looking for responsiveness issues in the user interface for HTML applications specifically. There's also a XAML UI responsiveness one as well, listed here under not applicable because this is an HTML application, not XAML. You also have JavaScript function timing and JavaScript memory. VIDS will help you out with looking for memory heap issues or just to determine which JavaScript functions are taking the most time to run. So that is the Performance and Diagnostics Hub.
Excellent. All right.
Back to you, Christopher.
Okay, here we go. Once again with the slides. Just a couple of real quick little items. You'll notice the different choices that Susan had mentioned there. And you'll also notice the different tools that are available and where they happen to be available. So, Susan, you know, since you were there, give me another keyboard shortcut.
You want another keyboard?
I want another keyboard shortcut.
All right. I've got one for you. Because as coders, we all live for copy and paste. I have another one related to copy and paste.
Excellent.
Because I said I could not code without copy and paste. Have you ever had this happen to you? You go in and you've copied some code, and you've got it in the buffer, and then you go off to some file somewhere else, and you're ready to go paste that code. And then you realize there's a comment, and you're like, oh, wait, I forgot I need that comment, and you go and you paste that comment and you use it. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get around, because we do get distracted sometimes, and then you're finally ready to go paste that code you had so carefully put into the buffer, and when you hit Control V, of course, you're like, oh, I forgot I copied that value in there, and you're like, oh, now I have to go back and recopy the original code I wanted.
Yep.
And, you know, way back in, like, Visual Studio 2008, there used to be, you could actually show a clipboard ring in a window, and it would show you the old items that were in your clipboard, so you could go back. Well, they took away the window, but you can still cycle through the clipboard ring to access old things in the keyboard buffer.
Huh?
So if you actually do Control-Shift-V, and you keep hitting the V key, it actually cycles back through the last things you'd copied.
Oh, no kidding.
So that you can go back to all kinds of old things in your buffer.
That's fantastic. So just Control-Shift-V.
Control-Shift, and then just press the V for Victor key, just like Control-V, but Control-Shift-V, and you can cycle back through your ring, and it saves you having to go back and recopy that code.
That is absolutely fantastic. I love it. All right. Well, then, you know what? I think it's time for me to do a demo. Let's do this. Now, if you saw the slide, I know it was only up there for just a brief moment there. You'll notice that the slide said edit and continue. And I know what some of you were thinking. Some of you were thinking, hey, guys, that's been around for a little while.
I remember them adding edit continue. It was
exactly.
A great feature.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's do this. Let me go in real quick to my project properties here. And let's go into build here. And let's go to x64. Okay, so we're going to force this to be 64-bit. And let's go ahead and close that out. And let's go ahead and do this. Put a little breakpoint right there. F5. And this is, of course, going to give me a slightly different screen. Give me one second here just to reset. No, I've never done that before.
Yep.
Never seen that UI. Okay, so let's go in. You'll notice that, sure enough, it says, hello, Susan. Well, you know, I really want to say hi to me.
All right. I won't take offense.
Hello, Christopher.
Okay.
And let's go to F11. And sure enough, you're going to notice that it now says, hello, Christopher. Now, again, I know some of you are probably looking at that, and you might be going, hey, wait a minute. That's been around for a while. Why are you guys making a big deal out of this? The reason that we're making a big deal out of this, let me just go ahead and close this out, come back over here to my little build options, is you're going to notice that I did that now as x64. That if you remember, in the past, we could not do edit and continue on x64. And now what you're going to notice There we go. There's my little zoom in. Beautiful. That now I have the ability to do edit and continue on X64. And you'll also notice that's enabled by default. That again, you know, we launched this copy of Visual Studio this morning. You guys were there. You remember that this was the first time on by default. So hopefully never again will you get that little error screen that says, sorry, you're not able to go in and do that edit and continue on your 64-bit apps.
That's sweet.
Excellent. Okay, let me go back to the slides.
It's probably my turn to do a demo, the way the thing's been going.
Yep, I believe it is. In fact, why don't you go ahead and do a demo?
All right, if we want to hop over to my system, and it's quite funny, I'm drawing a mental blank here. Why am I having problems on my, help me out, Christopher, what's wrong with my function here?
Oh, your function's not inside the class. Your curly braces are in the wrong place.
Thank you. I knew it would be something simple like that.
It always is.
All right, so let's just go back in there, toss that in there. All right, so what I'm going to do is if you've ever created a function or and you're about to call the function and you just want to test what return value is in the function. We have a simple new little ability now. I can go in here. I can call this method. So all I've done is written very simple code. And I'm going to call a function that returns two strings concatenated together. Mm-hmm. But what I want to show you is if I put a breakpoint in that function and I run, and all I've done is just created an app with a single button, just make this as simple as possible. So click on that button, and it goes in. Yes, I know I can't go into that at the moment. And I'm in the breakpoint, so I start stepping through my code. And you'll notice in the autos window, you can see the variables, of course, declared with their values. And as I step through, watch what happens when I go from now to being on the closing curly brace of my function. When you step to the closing curly brace of your function, there is an additional variable added to the autos window called returned.
That's awesome.
That tells you the value the function is going to return. You can also access it in the immediate window if you prefer. The variable is called return value. And that will also allow you to see the value being returned by your function. So that is the ability to show return values in a function. Be warned, though, the first time I saw this, I got all excited about it, and I was trying to actually set up a demo for this presentation to show it.
Yep.
And I couldn't get it to work to save my life. Turns out it doesn't work yet in phone apps, and I happen to be working in a phone app. It is supported in Windows 8, is supported in .NET, but doesn't work yet for phone applications, just because there are some differences in how the emulator and debugger work for phone.
And, you know, I just want to just go one slight step further there, is just mention the fact that, for me, I really like, whenever possible, to avoid having to do variables so that if I go in and I call a method and I know that I want to pass in the value that's going to be returned by another method, let me just go ahead and just call that method straight away. But it does make debugging it a little bit trickier. And so I wind up leaning on the immediate window quite a bit, like, all right, well, what's the value going to be? So it's nice now that I can just see that straight away in the normal debug window, that I don't have to worry about declaring a variable just to bring that capability to the table.
There you go.
Okay. Well, with that, let's get back over here to slides again. And do you have another keyboard shortcut for us?
I could probably come up with one more keyboard shortcut.
Excellent.
If you cut into my system, this one's a nice, easy one to demo. A lot of you have probably noticed the little collapsible regions
yep.
on the very left-hand side of the screen.
I really
like
this.
And when you tap on those, so do I.
Yeah.
And they're created by default for your classes and for your methods. But there are times when maybe you have a large if statement.
Yep.
That is calling methods or functions. So you might actually want to define your own collapsed regions.
Yep.
So what you can do is you can highlight a section of code, and then you use, now you've been using Control K.
This one is
actually Control M, and this is why there's so many of these little things. so of course, everyone knows Control M. So if you do a Control M as in Mary, then, whoops, that was a little too quick there. Control M H on the highlighted code. So H for hide, Control M H, it actually creates a new collapsed region
for
the code you have selected. And now I can at any time expand or collapse that chunk of code. If you decide you want to get rid of the region, it's just Control M U for unhide.
That's very cool.
I like that.
You know, let's do one last little thing here. Let me get out of my slide here. And I just want to highlight this because this has been appearing on your system, and you'll notice that it hasn't been on mine. That what I want you to notice is right now I've got console application 2 up, just a very basic generic little setup here. And this, by the way, is running on Ultimate. So this is an Ultimate versus a Premium thing. That you'll notice right up at the top here that it's got my little spot here showing me zero references. And that's the new little code lens feature that gives me a real quick little synopsis on what's going on with that method and where that method happens to be used. So if I come over here to my little helper CS, you'll notice that I've got the little spot right there just called display. I'm very creative in my names there. Let's come back over here and let's go ahead and say helper display. And now what you're going to notice is I come back over here, and you'll now notice that it shows me the couple of references, and if I click on that, it will now show me all the different items inside of there. While we're at it, while I'm here, I also want to highlight this little code map. And if I click on code map, this will give me a real quick overview of everything that's calling that method. Now, in my case, very straightforward. I've got, you know, just the two little methods. So you'll notice that main is pointing at helper. And by the way, you could also go in and expand that out and kind of see everything else that that it's doing. Love the little animation there. But in any event, there you go. There's my helper. There's my little display method right there. What I really like about this is that I'm a very visual person. And so if you've got kind of a normal setup here, where you've got a lot of different moving parts, a lot of different methods, I really need to be able to see it. And as much as I love drawing out on a whiteboard, I'm a trainer. I love drawing out on a whiteboard. The whiteboard, of course, is not going to automatically update based on changes that I make inside my code. Maybe that'll be the next copy of Visual Studio.
Maybe, yeah we'll work on that.
Exactly, yeah,
whiteboard
integration. Yeah, you know, wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, so what I want to be able to see kind of real quickly is, hey, what does my code look like? What's the visualization? And that's what the code map will do for you. I also want to mention that the code map does work in debugger as well. So if you go in, you hit F5 and you start debugging, you can actually walk through and see everything inside of that code map as well.
Nice.
So, but again, the code map, you get some basic functionality outside of Ultimate. The full functionality, and again, that code peek is only available inside of Ultimate.
Yes, and there are a few features like that which are going to be in specific editions.
Yep.
If you haven't seen it yet, if you're wondering what's in Ultimate versus Premium and so on, if you actually go to the Visual Studio page at visualstudio.com and you go to products, there's actually a comparison chart that actually lists off all the different features, and you can see which features are in which edition. So you'll know exactly what features are available in each edition of Visual Studio if you are wondering. And I do want to point out CodeLens is even better when you're working in Team Foundation Server, and we'll
exactly.
see that in our ALM session.
Yep.
We'll make sure to show you guys that.
Yep. So back to the slides here. And hey, I pulled it up.
There you go.
Go me. There's the URL that will list off every possible keyboard shortcut that you could ever potentially think of and a few others. And then finally, last but not least, we've been asked a little bit, you know, hey, where can you go get Visual Studio?
That's right. Well, specifically Visual Studio 2013. If you haven't had a chance to actually download it and play with it yet, there's a number of options, right? If you are an MSDN subscriber, yes, you can go download it from there. If you're a startup company, make sure you know about the BizSpark program because you could actually qualify to get MSDN at no charge. If you're a student, you can download it from dreenspark.com. It's available there. And anybody can download the Express or trial versions at visualstudio.com downloads as well. So lots of different ways to get it. And there's even Visual Studio Online, which we'll talk about in our session on ALM, on application lifecycle management. And that's free for up to 5 users. And I think
that's
sort of, we are going to take a break after this session
to have a
bit of a meal break. So we'll be back in about 1 hour with a session to talk about
web stuff.
Web. We're going to talk web next.
Yep. So in the meantime, whatever meal it is, go enjoy it. I know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm starving. So let's eat. I'll see you guys back here in about an hour.
All right. Hope you guys found something in there that was new and useful for you.